No. I'm struggling to preach. I better not hear amen on that, I'm telling you. Good morning. Good to have you today, and thank you for being here. And last week, if the rain didn't get you, the devil tried to get you with the sunshine today, didn't he? Yeah. Man, the fish are jumping, and the turkeys are gobbling, and all kinds of good stuff we could be doing today. But praise the Lord, we get to worship. Amen? Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Ryan, thank you for that song. We can only imagine. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And you know, as you get older, it means even more to you. As you have a loved one to go to be with the Lord and think about what it's going to be like one day to worship the Lord in heaven with all those folks that are there before us. Take your Bibles and turn to what? Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 2. We're winding our way through here. We're in a series, I Am Rich. I am rich. You might not understand that. You might not believe it, okay? But you're really rich. You need to understand that. And today we're talking about belonging to the body. We're talking about the church. Paul talks a lot about the church. It was a new concept in his day. For us, it's kind of old season. It's kind of old school stuff. We grew up, you know, knowing about the church, everything. And so we don't really understand all that's going on in that aspect of time. But we realize it's something new going on here. And what's happening here is you see in this portion of Scripture is there some folks joining together. You know, we think that we have racism today, and we do. We think that we have difficult problems and things like that in churches, and we do it from time to time, but they were struggling also. Here's where the Gentiles and the Jews are coming together, and all of a sudden all these different beliefs, all these different understandings of not only Scripture but God's, okay? I mean, you know, we think that, you know, we have some problems because we interpret one thing one way and somebody interprets another way, but let me tell you what, man, those folks are all messed up. I mean, they had gods. They had folks that had temple prostitutes and things like that where they thought that you go in and lay with a temple prostitute and that was a worship, and Diana and things like that, all the different kind of gods. And so all these folks are being brought in together here, and so it's causing a lot of problems. And so we learned a lot about it in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We learned a lot about it in Ephesians. All these, you know, all these epistles that we're going through, and in Ephesians is no different. Paul is dealing with some confrontation here. But today he's dealing with the Gentiles. And if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile, okay? So that makes up, I figure, most of us in here, okay? And so what it is the Gentiles, we really don't understand how fortunate we are to be brought in, to be grafted into to the church. And that's what Paul's talking. He's kind of reminding these folks that come in, and, you know, in this portion of Scripture here, what's going on in Ephesians now is the Gentiles are overrunning the Jews. So there's more Gentiles in the church than there are Jews. And so, you know, you had the Jews, they're trying to set things in legalism and things like that, and now you have these Gentiles coming in. And they're trying to, you know, bring all this newfound freedom in. They're coming in and saying, okay, here we, you know, this is how we worship here, this is how we worship. They're all trying to get it together. So Paul's trying to straighten them out here, and that's what we're picking up here. So we're talking today about belonging to the body. And so look there in Ephesians 2, and we're going to pick it up there in verse 11. Ephesians 2 and picking it up there in verse 11, okay? It says, therefore. So when he says therefore, he's talking about what happened before, okay? Now, you went through last week, we went through, you know, about salvation and, you know, how we're saved and all those kind of things like that. And in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and into 10, and we talked a lot about that, about grace and how we're saved and everything. And so now what Paul is doing here, he's saying, okay, now that you know that you're saved and now you know that you know how to be saved, now here, there's some things here that you need to understand. So he's talking to believers here. When you get into Scripture, you need to understand there's a lot of things you need to understand. But one thing you need to understand, who's doing the writing and who they're writing it to. And really the purpose of the writing of the letter. And so this is Paul writing to believers, talking about them, how to have a proper church, and here in this aspect of it, how to be thankful for what they do have because of the church. So he says, therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, that done in the body by hands of men, remember that at a time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreign to the covenant of the promise and without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now, there's our transition, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, and he who has made two one, that has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling which God lives by his Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we keep seeing here in this scripture, in him, in Christ. Those of us that are saved today, we are in Christ. And God, it is an abundance of provisions. It is abundance of what we have in Christ. And God, you give us just a glimpse here today of how fortunate we are to be the people that are called in Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. So God, here we today, let us learn from what Paul is telling these Gentiles and how fortunate they are to be brought into the church, how to be fortunate they are to be brought into Christ. Let us realize that God, he's speaking to us also, and your Holy Spirit speak to us, and let us realize how important the church is, Lord. So many times we take it for granted, we have apathy, we don't understand the importance of the church, but God, we are a family of believers, and we need each other, and we need you, Lord. And we come here, Lord, because we need those relationships. And God, help us understand that. The church is important. And we see today a falling away of a church. We see people that don't see the necessity of it, don't see the benefits of the church. And God, let that not be us, Lord. Help us not forsake assembling of ourselves, because, God, it is important to us. And let us realize that. So take this scripture today, Lord, as we look through here, and help us understand how important for us to be a part of the church, and how an opportunity and how responsibility we have for being a part of your body. We love you and we praise you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Amen. Where do you belong? That's the question we're looking at in your opening there. Where do we belong? Where do you belong? Everyone needs to feel wanted. Everyone needs to feel needed. Everyone needs to feel understood by someone. That's what we all need. We need that in our families. We need that in our, the place that we work or we go to school. We need that in our church. We need those things. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, the Lord God said, and listen to this, it says, it is not good. So all through, as we see in the creation story, God said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And then we get into Genesis 2, 18, and the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So what we normally do, we put that in weddings, and it should be because he's talking about a wife. He's talking about, you know, when a man and woman comes together, and he's talking about that. But I've told you before that we need to understand, and you need to understand this early in life, is relationships are the most important thing in our lives. And it usually takes something tragic in our lives for us to understand that. Someone moves away. Someone passes away. Something happens in our life. There's a relationship that we don't have anymore, okay? And we realize how important people are in our lives. We realize, first of all, how important God is to our lives because of the relationship we have with him, but also how important people are in our lives and how valuable that is to us. And so we have to understand that. So God knows that. And what did he do? He brought the church together because we need each other. We're living in a very difficult time, and many of you are living in very hostile situations in your workplaces or in your school, and you might find yourself that there's maybe only you or just very few people that are believers there that are trying to encourage you and to support you. And we need to realize that there's other people trying to do the right thing. Amen? There's people trying to live moral lives and living, God, above board and living biblical worldview lives. And so we need that in our lives because the world is getting less and less of that, and we have to understand that. So God knew that we were going to need each other, and so he brought together the church. And so every one of us needs to feel like that we belong somewhere. And so that's what God put the church for, and we need to understand it. We need people in our lives. And in Romans 12, in verses 4 and 5, it says, just as each of us has one body with many, many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so also in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each belongs to all the others. And so that's where we get our title at today, belonging to each other. Where do you belong? You know, belonging to the body of Christ. And Paul talks about this. So when we become part of the church, our membership means I belong somewhere. It means something. We have a time in the church now, and it's not something new. I started hearing about 15 years ago that I would have a lot of people begin to attend the church, but all of a sudden they wouldn't begin to join the church anymore. And they would say something like this, well, I'm part of the universal church. And, you know, I think all of us are believers and, we're all in this together and it doesn't make any difference about denominations and doctrine and theology and all those things. Let me tell you what it does too. Amen? It's what we believe, okay? It's what we believe. Just because you have a steeple on a building somewhere, or a man stands up with a book and it hoops and hollers, that doesn't mean it's the real church. And so those of us that understand that, those of us that stick to the doctrine of Scripture and understand the necessity of Scripture and the theology does matter, that we understand how important the church really is. But so we'd go through a thing, and I would talk to those folks sometimes about belonging to the church or being a part of the church or something like that. Well, we don't believe that you all have to join churches or things like that. Well, I don't believe that. You know, you look at three quarters of the Scriptures in the Bible that talk about a church. They talk about a local body of believers, somewhere you get involved in, somewhere you plug into, somewhere you become a part of. Because why? Because we're a family. He's talking, we're a body here, and it also says we're a family. We're a part of each other, and we need to be. You need to be a part of that. You need to be more than just attending somewhere. You need to belong because we need each other. And so I'm part of a group that has differences, but also we have something in common. And what is our commonality? It's Jesus Christ. Amen? It's God with us. Jesus Christ is what we have in common. I mean, many of you like different styles of music. You like different styles of dress, lots of different things, different cultures, all different kinds of things. But we come here because we have something in common, or we have someone in common, and that's Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. And he brings us together. You know, as a pastor, as I go through it, it is a miracle that churches stay together. I mean, I'm just telling you, it really is. I mean, there's so many of you like this and like that and don't like this and don't like that, you know, and I hear it more than you do. And so it's just like, God, I mean, it's just a miracle that the church stays together. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, you know, that any of you are here, okay? And so we have to understand that. And so we have to understand that we have this in common, and that's what we have in common is of our love for Jesus Christ and how we have a need for him and have a need for each other. We have a common bond of faith to God and loyalty to each other. And I have someone I can count on. I have someone that I can trust in. When I come in here and I have a difficult time in my life, I need people together around me. And this is that's when we form life groups. You know, life groups are, we're doing life together. So we come into a congregation like this, into a big auditorium like this, and you can find a little bit of that, but that's why you need to belong to a life group, because it's someone that you get intimate with. It's someone you share your needs and your hurts and your wants and things like that. And we need those things in our lives. You know, all of us are going through something in our lives right now. What Darren said is true. All of us are having difficulties. It might be financially, it might be family situations, it might be health, it might be a relationship, but there's something going on in our lives, and we need people around us that we can share that with and that we can be an encouragement to them. So the old saying is, if you don't need a blessing, you need to what? You need to be a blessing. And so some of us need blessings today, and some of us need to be a blessing today, and we need to understand it because we're counting on each other. And so what Paul's doing here is Paul's talking about the church, and Paul begins to talk about God has brought the Jews and the Gentiles together into one body. Look at what he says here in verse 16. He says, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. Some people say, well, how did the Old Testament people get saved? The cross. How does the New Testament people get saved? The cross. See, the Old Testament saints, they were looking to the cross. New Testament saints, they're looking back at the cross. But let me tell you what, there's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? And how we do that is through the cross. And so you need to circle that. You need to underline that. We only get to heaven through the cross. And we have to understand that, okay? And then he talks about, he points out here to the Gentiles. He's saying, okay, Gentiles, I mean, you're getting to be the big shots in the church. There's more of you than there are Jews. And so, you know, they've begun to probably take over some positions and things like that. I'm sure there was some moving and shaking going on in the church like there always is. And then he points it out in verses 11 and 12. He says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who are called themselves the circumcised, and the Jews boasted, we're the circumcised. I mean, we're God's people. We're the chosen, okay? And they held that in high honor. And what they did, what they were supposed to be, is trying to win the world to God. What they were doing, they were boasting and looking down on everybody else and saying, look at us, you know? And so he goes on. He says, by those who call themselves the circumcised, that is, the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreign to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. So he points out these things. And so they were not a part of the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant that God had made with Abraham. And so what was that? It was a promise of land. It was a promise of people. It was a promise of a blessing. It was a promise of the Savior. And so our Savior, Jesus Christ, people say, what did Jesus look like? He looked like a Jew. That's what he did. I mean, because he was a Jew. And so we're thankful for the Jews. We're thankful for the Jewish culture because we have so much through that. Because that is God's chosen people at that time. But now we're God's chosen people, the church. We've not taken the place of the Jews. Don't get that wrong. God still has a plan for the Jews. But now we're God's chosen people. We're his church. We're his body. And that's what Paul here is emphasizing. The Gentiles were not part of the covenant until Christ grafted us into that body. And all that's found into the New Testament. It's very interesting to see all that happen. Now, look at verse 12. What was the problem before Christ brought us together? What was the problem before the Gentiles were brought together? Well, first of all, he says what? We were separated from Christ. They were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel. Foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God. But then he gets into verses 13 through 22. Here's your contrast. Here's where it trends. He says, but now. He says, but now. And there's your contrast. Look what he says there. And he goes through here in verses 13, verses 21, and verses 22. He says, in Christ, in him, in him. All this is brought together. The church is brought together one way, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. And then he begins to lay out the benefits of being in Christ and being a part of the church. In verses 14 and 15, he says this. It says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier dividing the wall of hostility. Now, we don't really get that to a great degree unless you've studied some scripture. In the temple area, you had walls. They had things set up that only certain people could go so far. And they had an area that only the Gentiles could go into, but they couldn't get as far in. They couldn't get as close to God, I guess you would say, as the Jews could because they were roped off. They were barriered off. And so what's he saying here? Paul understands. He understands the layout of the temple. He understands about where the Jews had to be and where the Gentiles could be and all those kind of things. And so he's laying it out here. And he calls it the dividing wall of hostility. And then he goes on. He says, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. So he's bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together. Listen, that's a big deal. I mean, it's hard for the Jews to swallow because they've been, we've been God's chosen people, and now all of a sudden it's changing. The church is making it change, and so it's a hard deal for them to swallow. And so what Paul's doing and what you see Paul do through Scripture is this. He reminds the Gentiles of how thankful they should be of the Jews because he understands how hard it is for the Jews to swallow this, okay? And so he's saying, you know, don't hold it over their heads, because the Jews had kind of been holding it over their heads for years. So don't throw it back at them. What you need to do is you need to understand how thankful you ought to be for the Jews, because God did use the Jewish people and still is in certain degrees. And so we have to understand that. So what did he say? He says, we have peace. Destroy the barriers. He says, Christ fulfilled the law. And now Jews and Gentiles are now one body. So it's forming the church. Forming the church. You say, well, Brother Nate, that's a great history lesson, okay? But what does it have to do with me? Well, now we're getting into more of the body of the... I wanted to give you a layout because we're going through this book of Ephesians, and I wanted to get you where exactly what Paul's talking about here. So here we have the starting of the church, and we go back in Acts and see that, and now here it's coming together. Well, let me tell you why. They started off with a lot of problems. A lot of difficulties, a lot of struggles, a lot of things going on. And so a lot of what Paul's saying here, he's saying, this is how you need to get along. And this is some things you need to remember. And here's some things you need to be thankful for. And in this case, he's pointing it out to the Gentiles, which would be, in our case, ourselves, okay? We need to be thankful for the church. So today, how does it benefit me to belong to the church? What does it benefit me? Like I said, we're having a culture today that saying, well, I'm part of the universal church. And there is such a thing as a universal church. I mean, what it means, it's all believers, all those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and been baptized, that we're part of the church, the universal church. And a lot of people think that's enough. But let me tell you what, not by Scripture, not by Scripture. Like I told you before, three-quarters of the time you see the word church used in the New Testament, you see it's talking about a local body of believers. And so now, we need to still be belonging to the local church. And we do that by what? By membership, joining the church and saying, hey, I'm on the team. And what is that? What is the benefits? What does that mean to us? Well, look at number one. Belonging says, I want to be what? I want to be dedicated. It's a sense of loyalty. It's a sense of integrity. And in John 13, verse 35, it says this. It says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know. It's like a courtship. It's like a person that's coming to church. It's like they're kind of coming in and they're saying, okay, do I want to be a part of this body? Do I want to be a part of this family here? And so people come in and they kind of weigh it out. Is God calling you here? See, God ought to call you to a church. You just don't go out and pick out and say, well, we like this and we like that. And it's like you walking through, you know, like a salad bar, and you take just a little of this and a little of that, and you leave something else, you know. I mean, that's not how. Listen, God calls us to churches. And you say, well, I can see where he called you, or, you know, he calls someone else in ministry. But listen, God calls all of us, because why? He calls us to where he's going to use us at. And we're going to see that in a minute. He calls us to where he can use us. And so if God's called you to this church, he's got a place for you here. And you need to understand that. And what it's showing here, it's showing that I'm dedicated. I'm committed. I'm sold out. I'm a part. You can count on me, is what it's saying here. And how do we do that? We do that by loving each other and caring about each other. And it says it's a testimony for us. It's a witness to the world that says that the church is important. It says it's worth my time. It's worth my talents. It's worth the treasures. It's worth getting up and being a part of and coming to something like this, because it's important. Now, I'll lay this out to you. Here's some choices that people have in church, okay? Here's some choices. Well, the first one is what I'm calling sideline saints. And what is it? It's people that are saved, but they're out of church. There's a lot of folks out there today that they're saved. You know, they're going to get into heaven, okay? That's all I want. I wanted to get saved, and, you know, and it's all, I don't care about growing and maturing. I don't care anything about it. I just want to get into heaven, okay? Well, the thing is what we call this, is I call them sideline saints. They're part of the body, but they're outside the body. They're not coming to church and not being a part of the church. The second one is attenders. We call them attenders. And what is that? They're in the church. You come, but you're what? But you're not involved in the church. You're looking for everybody to do something for you, but you're not to do anything for anybody else. See, it's like, you know, it's like a redheaded stepchild. You know, you kind of treat them a little red, you know, a little rough around the edges, okay? I mean, you know, you're part of us, but you get all the dirty dishes, okay? And that's kind of how a lot of folks stand. So, you know, we're going to let you do all the serving. We're going to let you do all the teaching. You know, we're not going to help do this. I'm just going to come, and you're just blessed by having me here. I mean, I like to throw in my story here. Now, it was several years ago, and I was standing at the front of the door one time, and not at this church, but the former church, and I was shaking hands, and a lady come in, and she was an older lady, and she had been struggling in life, and she'd had a lot of health problems, and she just walked in, she shook my hand, she said, Brother Nathan, y'all don't know how blessed y'all are to have me today. And I thought, my good, let me bow here. Let me give you a crown. I thought, my God, God, don't strike her right here. Let me tell you what, friend, you're blessed to get to be here. Amen? This is not about you, it's about him. We come here to worship God. We don't come here to worship each other. We're here to encourage you. But yeah, aren't y'all blessed to have me today? I'll never forget that. I preached her funeral, and I almost quoted her. I'm saying that, you know. I didn't know, you know, because the gracious person I am. But I thought about it as I did preach her funeral. But, I mean, how blessed. I mean, you know, and I know she didn't mean it like that. I guess, you know, I don't know. She might have. But I'm just telling you, a lot of people think, well, y'all are just blessed to have me. You know, well, praise God, we really are. Thank you for being here today, okay? And I know there's a lot of churches you pass to get here, and thank you for being here, blessing us with your presence. But let me tell you what. It ought to be a calling where you go to church at, and you ought to be saying, God, here I am, use me. And you can count on me. So it shows us a sense of dedication when we belong to the church. And so don't just kind of show up and go through the motions. Be a part. Be a part of the family and get involved. And so you have the sideline saints. They're completely out of the church. And you have the attenders in church but not involved. But we're aiming for Christians. And what is a Christian? A Christian is Christ-like. It's a follower of Christ. And so a Christian is a follower of Christ. And what does that look like in the church? They're plugged in and they're serving in an area. See, God's giving you gifts. That's what he's talking about, the body. He's giving us gifts. He's giving us different things that we can do. And so he blesses us with those things, you know. I mean, you see it mainly. You see a lot of it. You see it in our life group leaders. You see it in our children workers. You see it up here in the praise team. And wasn't that a great song Ryan sang? Amen? You know, I mean, I wish I don't have that gift. I mean, they're trying to twist my arm here the other day trying to get me to sing. I know my limitations, okay? And that's not me, okay? That's just not me. But praise God, people can. So we come together and all of us have gifts and talents, and God uses those things to bless each other. So we have to understand that, see? And so we belong, and I'm dedicated. And so what it's saying is I want to be counted on. I want you to be able to count on me. I'm a part, and I want to be counted on. The second thing is belonging says, I want to grow. I want to grow. In Ephesians 4 and verses 11 through 15, it says this. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And here's another one of those things you ought to have underlined in your Bible. All pastors do. Here's what it says in verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service. So see, what happens, though, is what happens in a church is you bring on staff and you pass a little something. You say, well, all the work is for you. You know, you do this, you know, you're just to get up here and entertain us. Listen, this is not a comedy show, okay? This is a worship service. And so what we're brought in for, the staff is brought in for, is to what? Is to lead us, is to equip us to minister so that we all are ministers. Now, not all of us are pastors, but all of us are to be preachers. Preaching is just proclaiming the truth, okay? And you should be doing that in your workplace. You should be proclaiming the truth. You should have a message for people around you that God brings in your way. And then he goes on, he says, so that the body of Christ might be built up. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. That should be your goal, is I want to mature. I want to grow. I want to be more and more like Christ, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by ways and blown here and there by evil wind, every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemes. And then here in verse 5, here's the transition. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And so it's a maturing process. And so it's saying that I want to grow. In verse 12, he says, that our responsibility is to prepare people for unity and for knowledge and for maturity. And then in verse 14 through 15, he says, then that we'll be able to. What does the church need to look like? He goes on, he says, what? Not being infants. That means that you just don't fall for everything that comes along. Listen, the closer you get to Christ, the more you get indwelt by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, what happens is when you hear something that doesn't sound right, all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Spirit just checks in your spirit. It didn't sound right. That didn't sound right. I don't know if I believe that. And what your responsibility is not to run into my office and say, Brother Nathan, you said something I don't believe. Get into the Word, you know. Get into the Scriptures. Look at it for yourself. And then if you can't find out, if you can't confirm, come to me and say, Brother Nathan, I've never heard that. I've never seen that before. Show me why you believe that. What's in that part of Scripture? I'll be glad to do that, see. I'm just a man just like you. I'm not infallible. I make mistakes just like everybody does, and we have to understand that. So you need to bring your Bibles. You walk in here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night without your Bibles, all you're saying is, well, just tell me what you want me to know, brother, you know. Well, let me tell you what, that's how cults start. Amen? They just come in here, well, just let me know, whatever you think, you know. This is not what I think. This is the truth of God. Bring your Bible. Read along with me, mark it, take notes, do all those things. Because why? It's a sense of maturing. It's a sense of growing, to prepare. And we do this, what? That we might grow, not be infants, speak the truth in love, grow up in him as we get to know him more. And so it's saying, I want to grow up in my faith. I want to be mature. I don't want to be where I'm at this year, next year. I want to know more about the Bible. I want to be closer to Christ. I want to have my life more engaged in the things of God. The third thing is this. Belonging says, I want fellowship. Belonging says, I want fellowship, is what it says. I want fellowship, and I need fellowship. I need relationships. I need help. And the church helps in this way. You know, I mean, a lot of times we come in here in our church, and all of us have difficulties in our lives. And so all of us ought to have, our closest friends ought to be Christians. I'm not saying not have unbelieving friends, but they shouldn't be your best friends. And if you have unbelieving friends, your number one goal is to reach them for Christ. Amen? Now, you might fish with them, you might hunt with them, you might do things with them and things like that, but your number one reason is your friendship, is you're trying to lead them to Christ. Because why? Because their soul is counting on you. God's put you in their life to do what? To minister to them, to draw them closer to Christ. And we have to understand that. So we have those. But the church, we come together here, is because we need people that are solid. We need people that are moral. We need people that are trying to go in the same direction that we are, trying to raise godly families and have godly homes. We need that around us because there's so little in the world that we have that. And so the church does what? First of all, church helps me learn how to get along with folks, you know. We have diversities in here. We have all different kinds of folks, all different kind of likes and dislikes and things like that. In 1 John 3 and verse 16, it says this. It says, this is how we know what love is. Christ Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Who are you willing to lay your life down for? You know, you can count them on one hand, have some fingers left over, probably. And more likely, they're your biological family. But we need to understand it. As you grow closer in Christ, we need to grow closer like that as a church. There's some people that we ought to go to bat for. There's some people that we ought to be able to help and provide and take care of and be a part of their lives because of our love for them and their love for us, because that's what the church is. It's a family. It's a body of believers. And we should grow closer together. You know, it's natural. You know, churches are sometimes ridiculed about having cliques. But the thing is this. Usually the person that says that is the person that doesn't come very much. They'll show up occasionally. They'll come in here for an hour or so a week or something like that, and we really don't get to know them. You know, I mean, when you walk into a room of people, where do you usually go to? You're going to go to somebody you know, okay? It's the same thing in the church. You know, why do you see groups of us standing around out here talking? Because we know each other. We're here on Sundays. We go to life group together. We're here on Wednesday nights. And as the group gets smaller, it gets more intimate, and you get to know each other, okay, a little bit better. And so that's why it is. And so that's why you need to get plugged into your life groups. That's why you need to be here on Wednesday nights if you can and be a part of that, because it grows us closer. Because why? We're spending time together. You know, why do I know my wife more than I know you or my family more than you? Because I spend more time with them, you know, and I know them better. And so it's the way it is in the church. And so we need to devote ourselves to those things and know each other. And it brings us into more fellowship with each other. And it shows us how not to be so unselfish with ourselves, because we have likes and dislikes. You know, Mona and I, we have four sons, and all four of our boys are different. You know, I carried some of our boys fishing this week. I carried one of the boys is me and him butt heads together. Usually they say it's because you're like somebody, you know, more or something. But anyway, but he loves to hunt and fish. I mean, he has that in common with me. And he's still a young man, but when he was in his teens, he didn't run around with a lot of kids his own age because they don't take it as serious as he does. So when he goes fishing or hunting, he's there to catch something or kill something. He's not there to mess around. He's wanting to do something, okay? And so he runs around. Usually the time he runs around folks not his own age a lot of times. And so anyway, so I asked him if he wanted to go fishing. We went fishing and everything. So he got in the boat, you know, and he says, first thing you know, he knows that I fish a lot. He says, what jig are you using? I said, this right here. And he said, okay. So I said, there's my tackle box, get you one out. He got a jig out, he put it on everything. We caught, you know, and he started catching fish just like I did. We went around, and he was catching, just like I was, you know, okay. Well, yesterday I got another one of the boys. And he's not into it. He just kind of goes along because it's something for me and him can kind of do. He's not into it that much, okay. So we get in there, and I look at him. I said, now here's the jig that I'm using. Okay. And I said, okay, here. So I'm catching fish, you know, and he keeps on fishing. He's not catching anything, you know. And I start trying to give him, I'm trying not to be what you would call a dad, I guess. I start saying, well, son, I mean, I want him to catch something. You know, I mean, so I start saying, well, if you're not throwing into the bank close enough. You know, Dad, I know you've been fishing for a long time, but I have too. And okay. So I just go ahead. Okay, we just go. So finally, about 2 hours into the trip, I've caught a boatload, and he's caught 4 or 5. And I said, he says, why are you catching all the fish? I look back in. I said, because I listen to somebody that knows how to fish. And that was the end of the conversation. Okay. Well, that made him mad. It was about time to go anyway. So let's go. You know. And so that's kind of. So it's, I mean, our boys are different. You know. And so we live in the same house, but we have differences. So it's helping us learn how to get along a little better. Okay. So I mean, I didn't want to make a. You know, I could have went and you know and kind of just browbeat him and everything. Put this on. Do what I say. You know. Here you go. But I didn't. I let him stand back there and not catch fish. And I'm thinking, well, he'll learn one way or the other. And most people learn the hard way. Okay. So I taught him a lesson yesterday. I just kept fishing. Let him do what he wanted to do, and he didn't catch, and I did. Okay, that's just kind of how it happens sometimes. So we're all different. Listen, we're all different in the church, too. You know, there's some people in here I love, but I don't like. You know, I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I mean, our personalities don't match, you know. Some of you live with them, don't you? I mean, that's, you know, it's like, you know. And so it's, but I mean, I love them, but I mean, it's times we don't really like each other because we have differences, and that's okay. We have to understand that, okay? And so we have to understand it because if there's some folks that you don't care anything about hunting and fishing, And you see a group of us get around there, man, what'd you catch? What'd you kill? That's what we'd like to talk. And another, it's like, man, all they talk about catching and killing something. That's just not your thing, okay? But if you talk about going shopping, I don't care where you went shopping at. I don't like that. I just give a list to Mona. Mona likes to shop. I let her shop. I don't care for that, okay? I just don't like those. And so, but it's okay because we still have a common thing. And what our common thing is a person, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. And it brings us together. And so it teaches us about diversity and how to get along with people that we really don't have a lot other in common with. Then it helps us when it comes to temptation. We're accountable to each other, okay? In Hebrews 3 and verses 12 through 13, it says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you who has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." But then he goes on in verse 13, "But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sinful deceitfulness." So we have a certain amount of accountability to each other. You know, I'm telling you that when I come here that I'm trying to live a moral life. I don't always do that. I'm not perfect by no way. I have sin in my life just like everybody else does in here. But let me tell you what, I don't want to sin. Amen. And I don't want to sin. I don't want that for my life. And so we have a common thing, and we hold each other accountable to that degree. And it's a place that we can come and share with each other and talk to each other about the struggles and temptations of our lives. Because, listen, the Bible tells us in Corinthians that all temptations are common in man. You know what? The first thing the devil wants to do is he wants to make you think, well, you're the only one that feels that way. You're the only one that thinks that way. You're the only one that acts that way. Let me tell you what. When you get into a group of people, and usually it's a small group of people, when you begin to confess your sins, what you'll find out is most times people, well, man, I've done that before. What? I felt that way before. I thought that way before. Because why? It's a common act. The devil's good at what he does, and he knows how the flesh, he can drag us down, and he uses those things to drag us down. And so, but what? We come into the church, and we have a sense of accountability. That what of it? I represent Christ, and you represent this church if you're a member. Amen? You represent this church, and when you go out and you've got an I Love Jesus bumper sticker on your car, you're representing the Lord. When you have a Mount Vernon sticker, if we had one, you'd have a Mount Vernon sticker on your car. You're representing the church, okay? And we have to understand that. And so it's a sense to help us get past that. The devil looks for loners. He looks for people that are idle. He looks for people that separate themselves from the body that he might attack them more. And so it says, the next is, I want to be a part of the family. I want to belong to something. The fourth thing is this, is belonging says, I want to be used. I want to be used by God. Just think, the creator of the universes, the savior of our souls wants to use us. And that's why you hear me say all the time that I don't have to serve. I what? I get to serve. I get to do what God calls me to do. I get to be a part of the body of Christ. I get to do those things because we're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're doing it for Jehovah God. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, you heard this last week, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The very reason that you have a breath in your lungs, the very reason you have a blink in your eyes is because God wants you here, and he's got a calling on your life, and he's got a purpose for your life. And that's what our very reason is. And if you don't follow his calling, you don't follow what he has for you, you'll try to make up one for you, see? You're trying to make up one for yourself. And usually what that does, well, it's a lot of times it's all about just a certain relationships, or it's all about somehow making money. If we went out here today and we took a poll of what people thought the most important thing in life was, I can tell you what it is. It's to be happy. It's to be happy. Let me tell you how to be happy. Here's worth you coming to. How to be happy is to be holy. Holy, living for the Lord, sold out, carrying out your calling, laying your head on that bed, on that pillow every night, saying, God, I did what you told me to do today. I did what you called me to do today. There's a peace that passes understanding that you'll not find in any other way until you get to that point in your life where you're being called by God and you know that you're in the middle of God's will in your life. I know I've been there. Sometimes I get away from that, okay? Sometimes I get away from that, and I feel away. I feel moved. God didn't move, I moved. But we have to get back to that. Because why? It's letting us know that we're being used by God. I want to help other people. James 5 and verses 19 through 20 says, my brother, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from his error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And so we're to do what? We're to hold each other accountable. I'm not the Mount Vernon cop. I don't go around trying to check you out all the time. But let me tell you what, most of the time God gives us discernment. If you have someone walking in the faith, you have someone that's full of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what, they have a sense of discernment. And all of a sudden, you don't see it, but your personality changes. The way you handle yourself changes. The way you act and your attitude and the way that you talk. All of that, when sin gets in, all that begins to change. I call it you muddy in the water. Okay, you muddy in the water. And people begin to tell, there's something wrong. There's something different about them. I wonder what it is. But it can be identified by people that are spiritual. And we're to hold. And I'm not to go up and try to label you. But I'm going to say, hey, is everything okay, man? Is there anything I can help you with, you know? And if I see a struggle in your life and you share that with me, then I'm praying with you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying with you about the situation and maybe some other way that I can be a part of that and help you with. Then it also, I recognize God wants me to be used. A lot of people say this about ministry. Well, God can't use me. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too dumb. I'm too smart, you know. I mean, a lot of reasons that the devil will get you to sit down and sidetrack you in the things of God. But when you get to be in a part of the body, and you get to be a part of serving in the body, what it's saying is all of a sudden it's not you. God, most of the service that we do for God is to each other. We're serving each other. And when we're serving each other, we're serving God. You have to understand that. But a lot of people that get into service, and some people that don't get into service, they miss that. Well, I'm not serving God, I'm just serving the church, but you're serving His church. And so by serving His church, you're serving Him. So what will keep you going in ministry? It's not the pats on the back, okay? You won't get many of those. It's not the praise you'll receive. Every now and then we'll give a little something to you. It's not the plaque you'll get on the wall, because you won't get many of those. Or little certificates, okay? You won't get many of those also. What it is understanding I'm doing it all for Him. Amen? And He's worth it, you know. The people you're serving, they might not appreciate you, but God does. And God takes score. Amen? And He's going to reward us one day. And all our rewards are not going to be here. Most of our rewards are going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that. We're living for eternity. We're looking past the things of this world. And so I recognize God wants to use me. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says this in verse 12, the body is a unit. And though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. And then he skips on down in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 12, 18. It says, but in fact, God arranges. Listen to this now. This is showing that God has a place for you, that God's got a plan for you, okay? It goes on, it says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. You know, I mean, I could be jealous of Ryan up here singing, okay? I might have nightmares, I guess you'd say, or dreams about, man, I wish I could sing, you know? And if I can't sing, I'm not going to do anything, okay? I'm not going to do it. Well, you can't come to that. You can't say that, okay? I mean, but see, God's gifted you in a different way. And whatever that way is, that's where God wants you. And so it says, listen to this verse again, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wants them to be. Why? Because He knows what the body needs. You know, what if everybody here was a musician, everybody here could sing, but nobody could teach? You know, what would the body look like? It's all about health. And the thing is what you need to realize, if you're sitting out here today and you're part of the church and you're not involved in the church, what you're doing is the body is suffering because it's missing out on something. You have something to offer here. If you didn't, God wouldn't bring you here. Amen? God wouldn't bring you here if you don't have anything to offer here, and you need to understand that. And so what is he saying here? Belong says, I want to be used. And God has a place for me in the church. And maybe it's this church. You know, for some of you that hadn't joined this church, maybe this church is where God's going to use you. This is where He's going to mature you. And if that's great, if He is, that's great. This is where you need to be. But if it's not, then you need to go find that church. Mount Vernon is not for everybody, okay? I know that. I understand that. We have a certain style, we have a certain type of music, we have a certain type of worship, and that's not for everybody. That's why God has multiple churches, and that's okay, that's okay. I run into people all the time in restaurants all the time that they've attended here or maybe attended somewhere, and they came for a while, they dropped out, and man, you see them, they just put their head down. And I go, hey, how you doing, man? You know, you're not insulting me by leaving here, you know? I know it wasn't my fault, you know? So, I mean, you're not, just kidding. But it's just like, oh man, I keep running into this guy. You know? But I mean, listen, I mean, like I said, I love you. I want you to be a part. I want this church to grow. I want all that. But I know this church is not for everybody, okay? I mean, I understand that. And that's okay. But if this is where God's bringing you, and this is where God's calling you, let me tell you what, get involved, amen? We need you. We need you. You know, we need you to be a part of the church and be a part of what God's doing. Because if you're not serving and you're not using your gifts, then we're missing out on something in this church that you could be offering for us. And so let's get it on down. God has a plan for his church. And so don't just sit on the sidelines and let other people serve you. And what it's saying is I want to be serving someone. I want to be serving somewhere. I want to be serving the Lord by serving other people. So look at the closing. Do I really know that I belong? Do I really know that I belong? First of all, are you saved? Has there ever been a time in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's not an option. You don't belong. You can come to church here and you can get your name on the membership, you know. I mean, we don't draw blood when we ask you about your salvation and things like that. So what you tell us, we try to believe, okay? But maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you what, you can get your name on the membership of this church and still die and go to hell. You know that, don't you? You know. And I believe there'll be people that do that. I don't know about here, but I believe there are people who will, you know, maybe you. But what you need to understand, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step in belonging. And then you find you a church. Wherever God brings you, wherever God lights you, wherever God's going to use you, you find you a church and you get plugged into that church and you belong there and be a part of what God's doing there. The second thing is a lesson to learn today is this, is belonging says a lot about what I believe. You say you're faithful, you know, you say that, you know, you love the Lord, then you need to be a part of the body. You need to get involved. You need to be a part of the membership of a local church. And the application is join in and be a part of God's hands and feet. Join in and be a part of God's hands and feet. God left us here not to punish us in this old wicked world we're living in. And it's getting wickeder every day, amen? He didn't leave us here to punish us. He left us here to use us. And what is our responsibility? Tell other people about Jesus. That's our primary responsibility, tell other people about Jesus Christ. How well have you done this week? How much time have you given God? How many people have you told this week about Jesus? You know, how many people have you read a scripture to or maybe pray a prayer over or pray a prayer with this? How much time have you done that? See, the thing is this, is that's to be the foremost, the forefront of our lives. And if we're not doing it, then what? It means that we're not living up to what God's called us to be here. And that's what's going on in our church today. It's what's going on in our churches. We're being transformed into the things of this world rather than conforming people to the ways of God. And so we have to do what? We have to be reaching out to people and saying, listen, church is important. Being a part of the church is important. Being a part of God's family is important. And we want you to come be a part of us. How many people do you invite to church this week? I mean, let me tell you what. It so impresses me when anybody comes to our church because when you go to Unionville, it ends at basically 88 Highway, and that's it. So you're either going to River or you're going to Halls or somewhere, but this is not just the main highway out here, okay? So it's always interesting to me when I see some new person come in, a lot of times I'll ask them, well, who invited you? Because more than likely somebody invited you here. Because, well, you just didn't take a ride in Four Points and come down Unionville Road just to see what's going on in the world, okay? And so somebody has to invite people. 95% of people that come to church are invited by somebody in the church. You understand that? And I'm not talking about just our church, any church. 95% of the people that come to church are invited by somebody that go to church there. Listen, invite people to church. You say, well, I don't want to interfere in their lives. I don't want to bother them. Let me tell you, listen, their soul is worth bothering them for. Amen? Their soul is worth bothering them for. And their membership and their fellowship in the body of Christ is worth bothering them for. A lot of people want you to ask them. They might not act like they do, but they want you to ask them because why? Everybody wants somebody to ask you to be with them and be a part of them. So let's be asking and inviting people to church and asking them to be a part of that. And get plugged into the church. Get into life group. Come on Wednesday nights. I mean, be a part of the service. Get involved in the children's program, the youth programs, and all the different things, all the different aspects of the church, and be a part of what God's doing here. If he's called you here, he's called you here to use you. And I want you to be a part of that too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for the opportunity to be a part of Mount Vernon Baptist Church. Thanking you for most of all being a part of the church, God, the church of the living God, but God also for bringing us to this local body of believers that, God, that we can make a difference in other people's lives. We thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, dear God, for anyone out here today, first of all, for their salvation. God, do they really belong in your family? God, do they need to be accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? There has to be a time in our life we do that. And then, God, when we do that, God, that's the beginning of something. It's not the end of something. And then we start on this journey that we call life. And, God, it's a life that is only fulfilled, truly fulfilled, if we truly dedicate ourselves to you. And the first of that is getting a belonging to a church and getting involved and being a part of that, Lord. So, God, show folks here today, God, where that might be. This church or somewhere else, but, God, show them where that. Because they'll truly have that fulfillment in life if they get plugged into that, Lord. And so, God, you know every need here, Lord. There's some people here that need to be prayed for and prayed with and have difficulties going on in their lives. So, God, this invitation
is to bring us, God, to get us back right with you. And so, God, and pray about things that we might be struggling with in life or some other people that we know are struggling with in life. So, God, you invite us to come to lay ourselves out before you. And, God, help us to do that today. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus, and amen. So this invitation is for you today. First of all, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to come to do that today. I'll tell you exactly what you have to do to be saved, to make sure that you know you're going to be going to heaven. Or maybe here today you need us to pray with you or for you. Mark will be here. I'll be here. Or maybe today God's bringing you to join this church and being a part of what he's doing here at Mount Vernon Baptist Church. And so whatever your need is, you come, okay? Let's all stand. Jeff?